Why are athletes like Naomi Osaka judged so harshly? By Alex Spad. In late May of this year, tennis champion Naomi Osaka chose to forgo, not the first, not the last. This experience is not unique to the young tennis pro, however. Looking back in the history of professional sports, we find many like hers. The superstars preceding Naomi, Serena and Venus Williams, had their fair share of conflicts with the press, the crowd, and other players. They have faced a media that has for years focused more on their muscular physiques than on their performance on the court. Commentators have picked apart their dress and compared their bodies to those of men and animals. Cartoonists have portrayed them using imagery that was blatantly sexist and racist. In 2012, another female tennis player even stuffed her clothing with towels at a match in an effort to mock Serena's body. People in the crowd have hurled racial epithets at the sisters on multiple occasions. The level of offensive scrutiny the Williams sisters have suffered during their careers is truly grotesque. Misunderstood and judged. Another athlete who chose to prioritize his mental health over contract and dated publicity is former NFL running back Ricky Williams. During his career in the NFL, Williams was punished multiple times for positive marijuana tests. He was criticized for avoiding the press and giving curt, sarcastic answers when he did meet with them. He often did post-game interviews while still wearing his helmet to shield his face from the media's gaze. Reporters called him immature, and more than a few people told him he needed to grow up. The truth about Ricky is that he has social anxiety disorder, but he didn't know that until years into his professional football career. Before he started treatment, he was deathly afraid of going out in public and interacting with new people. That's an awful weight to bear for someone who was one of the most sought-after players entering professional football. His skills brought him instant fame, and suddenly, he was playing in front of hundreds of thousands of people and on national television. He was miserable and isolated and had no idea why until he finally started therapy and got his diagnosis. When he finally started focusing on what he needed rather than what other people needed from him, he got better. Searching for help, more than a few turned to alcohol and other drugs as a reprieve from their suffering. This includes Olympians like swimmer Michael Phelps, soccer player Abby Wambaugh, and most recently, runner Shankari Richardson. Phelps and Wambaugh coped with depression and cited their DUI arrests as the wake-up calls they needed to jolt them towards seeking help and getting sober. Shankari Richardson used marijuana to cope after a reporter informed her about the death of her biological mother. Instead of sympathy for her situation, U.S. track and field suspended her from competing in the 100-meter dash in the upcoming Olympics. All that happened despite the fact that marijuana does not enhance physical performance nor is it illegal in the state she used at Oregon. Many Olympians suffer from depression in the lull following the hype of the games. When your identity is wrapped up in a sport, what happens when you stop playing? In addition to depression and anxiety, many megastars are plagued by thoughts of suicide. Michael Phelps, Apollo Ohno, Sasha Cohen, Shaun White, the list of professional athletes who have considered ending their lives is long. It's so common among Olympians that there is even a documentary about it called The Weight of Gold. According to Phelps, many Olympians suffer from depression in the lull following the hype of the games. This reflects similar patterns when other professional athletes retire or get injured. When your identity is wrapped up in a sport, what happens when you stop playing? Humans versus products. These athletes' stories are now finally revealing that the very experience of being an elite athlete is detrimental to an individual's mental health. At the center of it lies a single conflict. Athletes want to be treated as individuals, while those around them more often see them as products. When they are not performing at their peak, their value decreases. Players in the NFL have been talking about this for years. Teams drop or trade them following major injuries with little concern about the players themselves. No attention is paid to the bonds they have formed with their teammates or the impressive performances they have given in the past. Every time they play, they risk injuries that would lead to getting cut from the team with no negotiation. They love the game, but it doesn't love them back. It wasn't Nami's depression and anxiety that got their attention. It was the threat to profits that did. It's not unique to team sports, though. Michael Phelps echoed the sentiment in interviews surrounding his motivation to produce The Weight of Gold. The French Open official's harsh response to Naomi Osaka's refusal to do press has a hidden financial motivation as well. Think of all the brands you see around athletes at a press conference. Every single one of those companies paid big money to have their names there. It wasn't Nami's depression and anxiety that got their attention. It was the threat to profits that did. Inside versus outside. Athletes struggle to reconcile how they see themselves with how the public views them from the outside. The media portrays them as larger-than-life heroes who must be nothing if not profoundly thankful for their position at the top. When athletes appear unhappy for any reason, outsiders often see them as greedy and ungrateful. That environment has traditionally promoted a long-standing stigma around mental health among elite athletes. Both other athletes and the public at large see it as a weakness, and more than a few athletes feel embarrassed about seeing a counselor. Many others don't go because they aren't aware that they are even experiencing a mental illness. The resulting environment doesn't leave any space for the athletes to come clean about how they are truly feeling. How many players have suffered alone for years while hiding their emotions and their true selves? This toxic atmosphere has a wide-ranging influence. Carl Nassib recently became the first active NFL player to come out as gay, and he had already played in the league for 5 years before he felt comfortable enough to do so. Jason Collins was the first NBA player to come out just a few years earlier in 2014. However, they are surely not the first gay players in either league. The NBA is 75 years old, and the NFL is over 100. It begs the question. How many players have suffered alone for years while hiding their emotions and their true selves? Growing athlete independence. While it's clear that individual attitudes towards mental health are improving, institutions can take time to catch up. Increasing athlete independence may soon force them to speed up, though. The explosion of social media has allowed players direct access to fans that was unheard of 20 years ago. Naomi Osaka has 2.5 million Instagram followers, and her announcement that she was foregoing the French Open received almost 85,000 likes. With such a massive reach, French Open officials should soon realize that they need her more than she needs them. Colin Kaepernick is another prime example of athlete empowerment. After the NFL blacklisted him following his protests kneeling during the national anthem against police brutality and social injustice, he gained more name recognition and media coverage than he ever had during his time playing. His Twitter and Instagram accounts have 2.4 million and 3.7 million followers, respectively. He landed a multi-year contract with Nike, who continued to support his message through ad campaigns even though he no longer plays football professionally. Developing support systems. Despite their growing independence, the onus should not be on the athletes to try to overpower the governing athletic bodies. The systems athletes work in need to evolve to support their health instead of just profiting off their performance. Shaking off the stigma of mental illness is a critical step, and we are already on our way to doing so. As more people speak out about their mental health, others will be more comfortable doing the same. Athletic organizations can support this by providing venues for this to happen. If coaches learn about mental health, they can better offer an understanding ear to athletes in need. This helps shift the sports training culture and creates an environment that is more suited to promoting mental health and treating mental illness. The International Olympic Committee is starting to get on board as well. They have adopted a mental health assessment tool to detect when athletes need mental help. Mental health professionals working with athletes use the tool to screen them for symptoms. If the initial screening produces worrying results, they go on to more detailed questionnaires that guide different levels of intervention. This offers an excellent model onto which other professional sports leagues can build for the benefit of their athletes. Making progress. Sports leagues must take action, but progress only happens when players push for it. Increasing support from fans and sponsors gives athletes the power to demand necessary change. The outpouring of support from fans for Naomi Osaka has been immense. Nike is sticking with Shankari Richardson. Social media gives athletes more control over their stories, enabling them to show the world they are not spoiled brats demanding special treatment. To the powers that be in the sports world, listen to your athletes. They are human, so treat them humanely.